The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're going to continue breaking down the matchup Sunday, Week 17. The Saints hosting the Raiders. Welcoming in now WWL sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, also digital content producer. Jeff, how you doing today? How was your Christmas in Green Bay?
Oh, I'm doing good and doing good. It's warmer. You know, I've been walking around in a t-shirt all day being like, man, why is it so warm? And I'm like, it's because I'm programmed for 25 degrees. So now I have that's like the trick to feeling like Louisiana is warmer than it is, to go up to Green Bay for a week and then come back here. You will never feel warmer.
Jeff, you there, was it as dominating a performance, are you looking at it, as what we saw on television? Because it looked to me, no matter what the Packers did, it was going to work for them. Everything worked. They were a dominant football team in the trenches. You certainly saw the big advantage they have at quarterback, Josh Jacobs, everything as advertised. But to me, what jumped out is how good their defense has come along throughout the year. They had some pieces. They were moving around. And to have a guy, I scouted him in high school, Edgen Cooper in Covington. He's not even started. And look the numbers this guy's put up. And he's twice been the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. That looks to me to be a football team. If they can stay healthy, they got a legitimate shot to be in New Orleans on Super Bowl Sunday.
It's a very good football team. I do think that the Saints offense did them a solid by just being completely inept. And by that, I mean, like, every time it felt like the Saints were doing something well, they, you know, turned it over. They fumbled. They threw an interception. They just dropped passes. I think Jordan Mims had a couple drops. It was like, what are you doing? Kevin Austin had a drop at one point on a ball that he should have had. I think the defense played really well, and it's a good defense. But, you know, the Saints did them, you know, that shouldn't have been a shutout. The Saints should have been able to put up some points, should have been able to keep it more competitive, and they just weren't able to. I was actually more impressed with the offense, if I'm being honest, because the way they play really is going to translate well to a playoff environment. If they end up in a cold weather game and you can just lean on some people with Josh Jacobs, because the way they extend drives and are able to just dominate the time of possession. I mean, the Saints offense, they were barely on the field in the first half. And that the drive that when it happened, I was like, all right, we might as well just pack up and go home now, was their second possession. They got it at their own 6-yard line. They proceeded to go 94 yards in 17 plays and never really felt like they were in danger of giving up possession. That's a really impressive team. And, you know, the Saints just played one of their worst games of the year on both sides of the ball. You know, Darren Rizzi will say, hey, we looked at it. We didn't see anyone playing with a lack of effort. And I agree to some extent, but I feel like that was an example of a game where you lost it before you ever stepped foot on the field. I just don't feel like they were ready. I don't feel like they felt like they were going to go win that game once it started. So it was ugly for the Saints. I think they made the Packers look like the best team in the NFL. And that's my biggest issue, is they're not the best team in the NFL. This is a wild card team that is very good, but you should be a lot closer to that team than you were on Monday. And that's the most disappointing thing to me from that performance for the Saints, is it kind of just showed just how far away you are from the level of that the Packers are right now. And that's not a good look for the Saints.
To think about the NFC North, and Steve and I, Bob and I have talked about it too, to have three teams that may end up with 12 games or more wins in one spot. And, you know, the Bears, I think a lot of people maybe thought in the offseason they could be in the mix too, but that didn't turn out too good. But to see how well Minnesota has played, the Lions have played well, but, boy, you worry now with all those injuries just mounting up one after the other after the other, that it kind of cracks that door. And listen, I'm say this, I'm right next to Geller. And, you know, I know he loves the Eagles. But, man, do you trust Sirianni in a big game?
Oh, absolutely,
man,
not.
He's like a loose cannon out there. I've heard LaFleur talk about the type offense he wants. And he is about running the ball and then playing off of that play action stuff. And I think now he's found the guy to take over that offense of being the bell cow and that being Josh Jacobs. Nothing against Aaron Jones. I think he's a good football player. I think Josh Jacobs is one of the elite running backs in this league.
And the thing with Josh is he's not a one-trick pony, right? Like, you put him on the field, you can do anything. And I think that was the issue with the deployment, the platoon of Aaron Jones and I'm blanking on the other guy's name, J.J. Dillon. You know, you just had two guys who you kind of knew what their game was when they got on the field. Like, okay, this is their pound the rock guy. This is their, okay, you know, throw the ball, do that kind of two-minute drill stuff. And with Josh, you kind of just, I don't know what they're going to do. Right? They can throw him out of the backfield. He can make guys miss in space. He can just bash you over the head. So that's a good team. And, you know, I'm disappointed that the Lions haven't gotten to this point with the roster that they should have right now, because that was as dominant of a team throughout the season as I've seen in a long time. Now they're kind of, hey, let's see if we can outscore you. You know, you're putting up 40 points and losing in a game. You know, that's not something you want to see. That's a fun division. It's a much more fun division to watch than the NFC South. That's a great fan base. I was really impressed with the fan base throughout the game. You know, no one left. It's a 25-degree game. They're up by 30. It was a packed house with 5 minutes to go. I know Matt LaFleur would prefer if they didn't do the wave while the Packers were on offense. That's another discussion to have for another day. But no, that team is in really good shape. I was really impressed with Jordan Love. It's easy to forget this is his second year as a starter. Obviously, he's an older guy. He's been around a lot longer than that. But he just makes good decisions. Like, that was the biggest difference when you look at what he's doing versus what Spencer Rattler was doing, is every time the Saints kind of won a play, right, every time they blew up what the Packers were trying to do, he either made something happen, escaped pressure, or just got the ball out, killed the play. You know, the Saints weren't able to get them behind the sticks because he's playing like a seasoned veteran, even though he's only in year two. And it's really impressive.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the things, too, Jeff, is if the Saints don't get a running game going against the Raiders, and they're not a very good team, and again, we had Hondo Carpenter on talking about all the injuries, 17 starters that they've lost throughout the year. But you can't be one-dimensional in this league. You can't. And their inability to run the football. They can't run the ball against the Raiders. You might see another big win by Las Vegas here. Because of the fact you become one-dimensional, you throw everything on the back of the young quarterback. And then now he feels he's got to make a play. Every time he's got the ball in his hands, it's not going to work that way. I think it's imperative. If they're going to win this game, they've got to be able to run the football. And now you're going to be without McCoy. You're going to be without Lucas Patrick. You got Lemieux, who's kind of a neophyte as far as the center position's concerned. He's played guard basically his entire career. And you're going to go with Landon Young at the left guard position. Man, it puts it in a bad spot here. But I think if you go back to it, that lack of a running game really, really shows up, and it is showing up big today.
Yeah, no question. The only positive I can say is the Saints have had to go to a backup center so much this year that Shane Lemieux actually has some pretty good experience at this point. I think this would be his third start, maybe fourth, but that's a big issue. And the problem is, like, when you're behind the way the Saints were and you're not sustaining any offense, they really had no choice. They had to throw the ball. That's why you saw Jordan Mims in there a majority of the second half, because they were in the two-minute offense basically the entire second half. And I think that was the plan you went into that game with, was Kendrick Mills is going to take the early down work. Jordan Mims is going to be kind of your third down back, and Jamal Williams is going to slot in there where it makes sense. And you just were never able to get to that kind of early down offensive package. And I know it was a little frustrating for Kendre to be on the field a little bit more, but it just didn't work out that way. And I would have liked to see a little better of a performance from Jordan. I know he had like five catches, I think, in that game, but it should have been more. He had a couple opportunities he just put on the ground. No, he was probably disappointed with that effort because it was his first extended run in a Saints uniform, really. So, no, I think you'll be able to keep this game a lot closer. I don't think there'll be nearly as many points put up, at least on the opposing side. The Raiders are coming off a win. They did beat the Jaguars last week. It was a low scoring game. So I don't think this will be the type of game where you get out of your offense nearly as quickly as you did last week in Green Bay. But now, if it is Spencer Rattler out there, like, we don't know for sure yet. They're still holding out hope. Darren Rizzi said today, like, if Derek can get out there either Friday or Saturday to kind of game out how it would look with that fractured left hand, whether can you take a snap under center? Do you have to be in the shotgun? You know, how is that going to look? There's still a chance he gets out there. And obviously there's a lot of motivation for Derek to get out there against his former team. It's going to happen yet, but I would bet money on Spencer starting. Like, if I had to put odds on it, I would lean towards Spencer, because it's just hard to imagine, you know, putting Derek out there in the condition that he's in without a practice in 2 weeks. But yeah, I think, you know, Kendre Miller would be Spencer Rattler's best friend. I thought as they started to establish some more offense in the second half, that's really what it was, is you were able to escape pressure, get ahead of the chains. And, you know, there was even one play that he just kind of flipped it out to Kendre Miller and he got close to a first down. Like, I think that needs to be Spencer's game plan. It's like, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, check down. Right. And, you know, when you don't get sacked 17 times in four starts by accident, that's not the offensive line. That's the quarterback. Especially when you look at the same offensive line Derek Carr was playing with. He started 10 games, got sacked 8 times. So it's got to be on Spencer to avoid those negative plays. And it's just what he wasn't able to do in that game.
Jeff, thanks for stopping by, man. Talk to you soon on the Inside Black and Gold podcast.
Thank you, Jeff.